burning in the eyes of the maker. By God-tier meme. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Your name is Karkat Vantus, or maybe, perhaps, it was Karkat Vantus. Your name was, at some point in the past that you no longer care to remember, Karkat Vantus. Many sweeps ago, you were a leader, or rather, you thought you were a leader. You wanted to be a leader. Now you're not so sure. There's nobody to really lead here, at least. After sweeps of wandering this accursed dream bubble, you've only found copies of yourself. And the meetings went about as well as you'd expect. At this point, you can't count how many times you've murdered yourself. You're unraveling at the seams. Or maybe you've already unraveled. You can't count how many times you've walked across this barren landscape. It seems to be a pure embodiment of your memories. And you suppose that makes sense for a place that's inhabited by countless copies of you. You might even be tempted to say you've grown accustomed to the loneliness. You can't remember the last time you genuinely spoke to anyone. Sure, you've screamed at other versions of yourself, but there's no real discussion. It's more like a fight, a dance of blood and sinew and flesh and bone. You get insulted, you insult yourself back, and things spiral until you're committing another proxy suicide. At first, such occurrences made your head ache. Now they're normal. You barely think about them at all, actually, but you do think about the fact that your self-hatred-induced murder spree has left you terribly and irrevocably alone. And as you kick around some dust to form a makeshift hole to sleep in, you say to no one in particular, "Great shit-fucking idea, Vantus. Sure, let's just murder everyone in this stupid, bulge-chafing bubble for our own comfort. Surely such a plan could never backfire. It's not as if they'll all stay dead, leaving you to rot alone until something finally decides to end your piteous existence." With one last kick, you deem your bed fit for occupation. You're preparing to curl into your pseudo-grave when you see him. He's in his god-tier robes, all gouging, angry bright red, and sitting on top of a filing cabinet that you know wasn't there a second ago. He's the only other thing in the vast, chalky expanse, and you know he's not real. None of them are. They can't be. After so long, it's impossible for you to be anything but alone. But you're not going to turn down company, even if it's your wholly hallucinated memories of a man you once knew. The folded-over fragments of Dave Strider seem as tangible to you now as they did before you died, and you're not going to let him go without a fight. Not this time. "Long time no see, my man," he smirks, and those pale lips are as soft and full as you remember. When he glides over to you and throws his arm around your shoulder, he feels real. You smell that familiar sour apple scent, and you breathe it in as deeply as you can while he continues his usual ramblings, saying, "You're still alone on this rock, huh? Do you think I'd be hallucinating you, of all people, if I had even a single other sentient thing to speak to in this fucking bubble?" Your sharp reply is offset by a laugh, and a warmth runs through your chest when Dave reciprocates the sound. Unlike you, his laughter is soft and breathy, almost melodic. It's nothing like the harsh, chesty growls that trolls let out. And Dave, being little more than a projection of your memories, shrugs. He's as sarcastic as always, and he lowers his shades enough for you to see the mischievous spark in his ruby-red eyes, as he says, "I suppose you might conjure me if you were on a planet of nothing but Aridin. Or maybe a bubble inhabited by 1,000 Solixes?" You grin, and you can't remember the last time you smiled. You're about to settle down and relax. You want to enjoy whatever time you have with the phantoms that wander through your mind, but your bliss comes to an abrupt end. Dave tosses his cape over to you, just like he often did on the meteor, but you don't feel its warmth. No plush fabric rubs against your skin, and there's no body heat radiating from the man next to you. That scent from before disappears, and the edges of Dave's form shimmer. You blink, reach out for him, and shudder when your hand passes directly through his image. A monosyllabic exclamation escapes you as you fall face first into the dirt. "Fuck!" And when you roll over, you see someone else entirely. He looks so much like Dave. but his blonde hair is longer. His shades are triangular and pointed, almost like Teresi's, and his skin is a rich shade of tan. His upper lip is thinner than Dave's, and his smile is more restrained. When he speaks, he lacks Dave's iconic twang, though his voice is older, deeper, and noticeably rougher, as he says, "My deepest apologies for disappointing you, Carcat, but I'm most certainly not who you think I am." "Well, I don't even know who the fuck you are," you counter. It's not exactly a lie. You genuinely cannot remember who this man is, but you feel like you've seen him before. His name rests in your mouth, but the specifics are just out of reach. If you felt around for a bit, a day, perhaps two, you might eventually remember. However, recalling the irrelevant name of an errant Eidolon isn't at the top of your things that must get done list. It doesn't even rank on your things that might get done itinerary. But the not Dave doesn't know that. No, he remains blissfully unfucking aware as he shrugs in a very Dave-like way and says, "Oh, that's my fault, isn't it? My name is Dirk Strider. Perhaps you've heard of me? Oh no, you probably have not heard about me, and you are now pondering the unpleasant implications of there being yet another Strider inhabiting any reality. Is that a more apt description for your knowledge of my existence?" When he cocks his head to the side, he looks so much like Dave. You narrow your eyes.
"Sounds about fucking right, yeah, but I've honestly been trapped in my own think pan for so long that I don't even remember who you are, so enlighten me. Who are you, fresh figment of my tortured subconscious?"
And he, Dirk, flashes you an uncomfortably familiar smile. You catch a glimpse of slightly crooked teeth before he says in a sickeningly soothing voice, "Well, it may shock you to learn that I am not a hallucination. I am, in fact, quite real. In fact, I'm as tangible as you." To prove this fact, he steps forward and pushes you back a few steps. But you're not entirely convinced. You've been alone long enough to doubt what you see and feel. The only thing you can't doubt is what you can do. So without notice, you reach out and snatch up his shades. They're light and fragile in your hands, and you confirm the assessment by snapping them in half. You feel little more than dull pain, as a few splintered shards dig into your palms. Dirk, meanwhile, remains unmoved. His eyes are as pure white as yours. He, too, is dead.
"So you're real," you mutter.
To keep yourself busy, you drop the shades and start idly crushing them beneath the heel of your tattered shoes as you continue.
"Why are you here? There's not much happening in this godforsaken bubble. It's just me and the one or two iterations of myself that I haven't murdered out of spite. If you walk long enough, you might even find some of my fossilized feces. Now, isn't that fucking enthralling?"
You expect to hear a laugh. Dave would laugh at such a comment, and in a far corner of your mind, you can even imagine his reply. He'd probably smile before dropping his shades enough for you to see him roll his eyes. He might throw an arm around you, maybe even ruffle your wiry black hair as he shakes his head and hits back with something like,
"Oh, man, that's fucking disgusting. I'm over here gagging myself just about to death on whatever sort of rancid fumes you got wafting out of that mouth of yours."
And he'd smile that stupid half-grin of his as he playfully punches you in the gut. But you don't hear a laugh. Instead, you see a furrowed brow, lips with more color than Dave's, twist into a scowl. Then Dirk's expression resets. He folds his hand behind his back and shifts onto the balls of his feet as he says, "I'm sure it's been quite uneventful here. I only recently arrived, and I'm not even sure how I came to find myself here, but I do know that I feel as though I should help you. Now, you might not know about me, but I know about you. And yes, I realize that sounds impossibly convoluted, but allow me to elaborate."
"Oh, for God's sake, please don't," you interject.
Of course, Dirk ignores your plea. In fact, he starts rocking forward and back on his feet. He raises his voice and somehow manages to overpower you as he continues, "You are still alive in the timeline from which I hail. You and Dave are quite happy together, actually. It seems you even have a situationship with Salix."
"That's exactly what the bastard has been stuck alone on a fucking mindscape rock for the past who knows how long wants to hear, dumbass," you growl.
For the first time, you see something that looks vaguely like shame cross Dirk's face. His lips turn ever so slightly downward as he quickly mutters, "Again, my apologies. The point I was trying to make is that I am aware of your existence, Carcat, and I feel a great need to help you. I can't possibly fathom how lonely it's been here for however long you've inhabited this bumble. Fortunately, I have a solution."
"You have a solution,"
you scoff, Then you smile. Your smile soon turns to a cynical laugh, and that laugh becomes an all-out cackle. Soon you find yourself doubled over, wheezing, as you try to wrap your mind around Dirk's ridiculous claim. When you finally manage to calm yourself, you wipe away a red-tinged tear. Folding your arms firmly across your chest, you shake your head and say, "You want me to believe that you, some imperious newcomer, has an idea I haven't tried?" You step forward and lean closer to Dirk, stopping once you feel his warm breath against your face as you hiss, "Well then, Poindexter, why don't you drop that phenomenal idea for everyone to see? All two of us, you and I, can marvel at this neoteric conception of yours, hmm?" And he, to your surprise, places a hand on your shoulder. His touch isn't entirely unlike Dave's. There's a vague hesitancy to his contact, a sense that he might pull away at any moment, and it persists as he practically coos, "Well, come a bit closer. I don't want to spoil the surprise." You don't really have much to lose. At least you don't think you have anything to lose. So you obey. You step forward and lean in even closer, and as you do, you see a shimmer of light at the lower edges of your visual field. You don't need to see the item to know what it is. You spent long enough on Alternia to immediately identify the glint of light as the flash of a blade. "What the fuck are you?" You don't get to finish your inquiry. Something sharp and cold and all too painful gets rammed through your midsection. You look down and you see a blade jutting from your abdomen. A thin line of bright, mutant red is already starting to trickle down the finely honed edge. When you look up, you see Dirk. His eyes are narrowed. His jaw is set. He's pushing the blade deeper now. You can feel it pass through you, and then you feel nothing below the entry point. You see the handle's upper surface meet the fabric of your sweater, and he offers you a small, apologetic smile. "You see, Kerket," he hums, "there's really only one way out of a dream bubble. You can force your way out, but I don't think you want that, do you? You want to see Dave. And I have seen neither hide nor hair of him since I died. But I think I have found a mutually beneficial solution. You always thought dying in lava was terrible. Now you're rethinking that evaluation. This is worse." You feel your insides churning, literally. Your intestines writhe, and you're unpleasantly reminded of how Dave once tried to show you how to twirl pasta like a real Italian. "I'm sorry, Kerket," Dirk mutters. And he sounds distressingly genuine. He doesn't want to do this. He's only doing what he thinks is right. And as he rips out the blade, wrenching free more than a few feet of your guts on the way out, his frown deepens. "You understand how it is," he adds. "Or maybe you don't. Either way, this is the best option, the only option, for both of us." You fall to your knees, and a memory flashes across your vision. Logic tells you that it's a split-second twinkle of a fading mind, but it feels so real. It draws you back in time to when you first awoke in this mind-fuck of a dream bubble. Days after your arrival, you met your first alternate self. He was older than you. You could tell by his darker skin. Where you expect to see blood-red pupils against goldenrod sclera, you saw milky white. He was as dead as you. Of course he was. But he was clad in rusty red and muted gray god-tier robes. That threw you off. And when he saw you, his lips pulled into a toothy snarl.
"Just my fucking luck, isn't it?"
His voice burned shocking, Strider-esque red across your mind. When he growled, the sound was deeper and richer. A sense of rage filled your chest as you realized how much he got to experience.
"Shove your goddamned verbal vomit up my refuse chute," you snapped.
He responded in what was, in retrospect, one of the few sane ways possible. With a huff of annoyance and his arms folded firmly across his chest, he shook his head.
"What's your problem, asswipe?" he scoffed. "Well, besides being me, I suppose. Being Carcat Vantis is a pretty fucking glaring issue, after all. I'm sure that's the singular conclusion with which we'll both eagerly agree. Nobody, least of all us, wants to be Carcat Vantis."
At that, you nodded. You even smiled a bit. You were still able to, then, as you said,
"That's as obvious as saying humans are inscrutable, or I sincerely wish Terezi would stop eating my leftovers."
But the sense of camaraderie soon faded, and bitter resentment filled its place. After a few seconds, your smile turned to a deep frown.
You stared at your older self and demanded, why did you get to your final molt? More importantly, how the ever torturous fuck did you manage to die after reaching God tier? Are you stupid? Are you that fucking dense? Is your think pan made entirely of super slime and shit? And maybe it was the extra experience that led him to shrug and wave a dismissive hand in the air. Maybe he wanted some more time. Either way, your alternate self brushed aside your anger and said, I can see we won't be getting along. Let's just end this here. I'm not in the mood to deal with my petulant pubescent self. Back then you agreed. You mimicked his gesture and plodded away, kicking up dust, as you naively declared, yeah, fuck you! I'm sure there are better dimwits to talk to around here. The truce lasted surprisingly long. You didn't see that particular iteration of yourself for at least two sweeps, and at that point, you were pissed off enough to ignore his plea for mercy. You killed him with borderline glee. You even considered stealing his robes, but you figured you'd let him have that particular dignity in death. Back in the present, you can feel yourself dying. Again. As warmth oozes from your abdomen, a chill fills your body. It's like pushing liquid from one vessel to the next. As the substance that feeds your body drains away, a frigid emptiness enters. Your vision swims. When you look down, you see Dirk's hand. I'm sorry, he repeats. Then he rams his hand into your wound, into you, and feels around. Foreign fingers wrap around your guts and pull, and you suppress a wave of nausea as you feel your stomach trying to wrench free from your abdomen. His hands are warm, that's your one reprieve. He may be dead, but the dream bubbles give him an impossible amount of warmth. At least the hand that's literally ripping your life from your body is a comfortable temperature. He pushes, and the force of his touch finally shoves a wave of vomit and blood up your throat. It pours out, covering his arm, and it burns horribly as some inevitably ends up dripping into your open wound. I'm sorry, he tries to reassure you. This will be worth it. Neither of us will have to exist in these damned dream bubbles after this. Another memory surfaces. It took three sweeps for you to see Dave again. You found him in your makeshift tent, a basic home made from fabric you'd commandeered from the corpses of your alternate selves. He smiled when he saw you, and you ran faster than you ever had before. His name left your lips as an elated shout. Dave, oh my god, it's you, it's you! Sweet infernal fuck, your puny mammalian mind can't even begin to fathom how much I've missed you! He laughed at your words. His smile grew wider as he clambered out of the tent and wrapped his arms around you, his warmth filled your chest, and his voice rang like music in your aural nodes as he said, you're going soft in the middle, Carcat. Out of that, you lost your fucking mind. After breathing a hoarse whoop of laughter, you allowed yourself the luxury of a smile, probably your first since you arrived. You let thin, pale hairs brush against your cheek as you mumbled back, oh, fucking bite me. Why don't you try surviving alone on a rock inhabited by countless copies of your miserable ass? Your joy didn't last, of course. The universe would never allow such a thing to happen. He withdrew and moved to press your hands to his cheek. He always loved when you did that. He called it a mammalian shoosh pap, and you always sneered at such a phrase. But you felt no warmth against your palm. In fact, your hand passed through him. You stumbled back with a shout. Then you pushed back towards him. You reassured yourself that it was little more than an illusion, a bleary trick of your mind. As you approached, his smile turned to a frown, and the expression deepened as you carefully removed his shades, where you should have seen milky white. You saw vivid red, your heart sank. And he, a man you knew to be little more than a phantom from your past, did what he would have in life. He pulled his lips into a weak smile and tried to reassure you, saying, I guess I'll see you some other time then. Sorry to break the news to you like this, man, but you've been so fucking sad lately, you know? I couldn't leave my bro hanging like that. Then, all at once, he disappeared. And you were left alone. When you snap back to reality, you find that Dirk is going even deeper, and his hand presses painfully against your air sacs,
Your breathing becomes gratingly voluntary. As you start to wheeze, he pushes his blade into your shaking hands. What you have to do is kill me, he says plainly. Then we'll both be free. You blink. You don't have enough energy to respond, but you close your fingers around the leather grip. As your life fades away, you feel a sense of rage. You've spent so long ready to die, but not like this, not staring into a face that looks so much like the one that once slept beside you, snoring and drooling in the most endearingly disgusting way possible. Not as you hear traces of the voice that once whispered idle nothings to you, when the meteor's eternal darkness prevented you from resting, not like this. Not like this. Warm fingers wrap around your blood pressure. It's a strange, unreal sensation, and you feel immense pressure inside your chest. You react instinctively. Your arm rises and lashes out. And you suddenly find yourself staring at a fountain of blood and a disturbingly meat-like slab of muscle and bone where a head once was. There's a heavy thud and a puff of dust. Dirk's head falls. Then his body crumples and drops onto its left side. For a second, you feel like you've won. Then you see another fountain of blood, lighter red than it should be. It's gushing from the gaping hole in your abdomen. A third, dwindling stream comes from what you quickly identify as your blood pusher. It's clutched in Dirk's right hand. You watch, morbidly mystified, as its beating slows to a stop. You have just enough time to process all of this as your body goes limp. You manage to force out one pained, gurgling breath. You know you're dying. But when you blink, you see him. You see Dave. And he looks just like you remember, of course he does. His shades are clipped to his collar. You can see his eyes. His red irises once filled you with rage, now they comfort you. They're bright and familiar and warm as he sits, cross-legged, beside you and says, Misby, pal? You feel like you can see every joy you've ever experienced in his smile.
You look tired, dude. You look really fucking tired.
You nod, or at least you think you nod. Dave's smile grows softer. You feel his hands on your shoulder gently massaging where you often hold all your tension. Go to sleep, then. His voice is light and cheerful. He doesn't seem to care about the situation. He never did. He was always happy to exist by your side, even when things seemed unwinnable. I'll wait for you. You know it, he says. And you smile at his words. We'll always catch up to each other eventually, right? We'll see each other another time, won't we? He always said that to you. Now you remember. See you another time. See you another time. It was such a stupid joke. A mindless pun on his god-tier powers. You get it now. You always thought he was just being his usual stupid self. Now you realize he was making a promise. And your smile grows. For all the times you gave Dave shit, you truly loved him. You hated him. You wanted to be his everything, and he seemed to feel the same way about you. For the briefest of moments, as your synapses desperately fire off their final signals, he disappears. You realize you're alone, and you're gripped by an all-consuming sense of fear, but he returns. He always does. And it's as if he was never gone. He's still sitting beside you, smiling as he babbles away.
Remember when we watched some of John's favorite movies? Fuck, I would have loved to see the look on his dork-ass face if he heard the kind of vitriol he was spinning out over those Nick Cage flicks. God damn, it was funny. He'll knee slap her. Call him the clowns, because that was just the whole-ass circus of stupid. But it was fun, stupid, you know? Because I was with you.
And I love you. The words leave your mouth with your final rasping breath. And a dribble of blood. Your name was Carcatophantus. Today you died. For the second and final time. In a desolate, dusty dream bubble. You died with your claws covered in blood. and your own arms shoved inside a cavernous abdominal wound. You died beside a dusty sword and surrounded by shards of shattered, tinted glass. You died with a smile on your face and the taste of blood and nostalgia on your lips. The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is Dregs, composed by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.